I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Mia is a recent book from the author Julia Lin. It is the first Taiwanese-Canadian short story collection ever published. Ms. Lin joins me now, and I'll ask her about the stories in this book, what compelled her to write it, and what of the author is reflected in this collection, what of the experience the Taiwanese have had is in this book, whether it's the experience of being occupied, as well as those who leave there to come to Canada. From what I've read of the book so far, the writing is wonderful. It's perceptive and poignant, and this is a wonderful insight into what life was and is like for a lot of people. It's a great insight into the Taiwanese experience, as well as the Canadian one. Julia Lin was born in Taiwan and grew up there and in Vietnam until her family immigrated to Canada when she was 9. She has graduate and postgraduate degrees in immunology and computing education from the University of Toronto and the University of British Columbia. She has taught high school math, science, and computing science for many years now. Her website is at julialinbooks.com. Mia is published by Sar Books. There'll be a launch for this book Saturday, the 18th of May, 2013, at 2 p.m. To 4 p.m. at the Dr. Sun Yat-sen Classical Chinese Garden, 578 Carroll Street. Visit VancouverChineseGarden.com for more information. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program, Julia Lin. Ms. Lin, good morning.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Our mutual friend Larry Wong was the one who suggested that I talk to you about this book, and I want to thank him for the suggestion. From what I've read, it's because I haven't finished it, unfortunately. It is a wonderfully written book. What brought about its publication? This is your first book, right?
Yes, this is my first book, and I have to say it was an accidental publication in my mind. I had originally signed up to be in the Humber Creative Writing Program, which
right.
is a correspondence course out of Toronto. And my original intent was just to learn to be a good writer. I submitted the first story, which is the title story, Mia, to the program, and I was paired up with M.G. Visanji, mm-hmm. as my instructor. When I first started writing, people ask, have I always written? And not really. I have been a teacher my entire career, and I just thought it was time for me to try something creative.
Uh-huh.
So I had two stories that I originally thought about submitting, and the first one is Mia. The second one was one that was not Taiwanese based at all. It was just a Vancouver story. And I chose Mia because I actually met Hiromi Soto when she was writer-in-residence at Vancouver Public Library, and I asked her to choose between the two, and she thought Mia was more interesting. So I sent it in, and about halfway into the program, Mr. Visanji suggested that I make a collection out of the set of stories I had sent him. So that's how it came about. Really, I was just trying to learn to write.
Yeah.
It turned out well.
Yeah, it has, because, I mean, as I said, I unfortunately haven't had the time to finish it, but, I mean, it's one of these books that I am going to be finishing very shortly, because it's drawn me in with the writing, with the storytelling that you've done. You mentioned working with M.G. Visanji. I've interviewed him a few times. In terms of the process working with him and the mentorship, did you ever meet him, or did you ever work with him personally?
It was a correspondence course, but I've met him a couple of times now. When he came out to Vancouver, he arranged a meeting with me, and
uh-huh.
we talked about what direction. That was after the program had just completed, and he talked about what direction I should be taking the collection in.
Yeah.
And then when I signed the contract with them, I met him in Toronto, and he actually edited the entire collection after right before publication.
Yeah.
So I've been very fortunate, and I'm very grateful. And Mia is Taiwanese for fate,
uh-huh.
or destiny. So it sort of turned out to be my Mia
yeah.
to have this publication come about, because really I didn't expect to be publishing anything when I entered the program. So wonderful. I've had a lot of good response from the Taiwanese community because they're proud that somebody is actually telling their story in English, and especially because the second generation is, a lot of them don't read Chinese anymore, so it gives them a little bit of an insight into how their grandparents and their parents even suffered when, all of the things were happening in Taiwan.
So you of course, have Mia, you have Fate in the publication of this book. Hiromi Goto also taught you to be stubborn, is that correct?
Yeah, you had the acknowledgement. Yeah, she said one of the characteristics of being, I guess persistence is another word for it, of being a writer, is to be stubborn. And so I've taken that to heart. You have to be persistent. And because I am still, I'm a full-time math teacher, so it's really difficult for me to find time to write, but I think I need to do this because it's my destiny, right?
Yeah. Is it fun for you, the process? I mean, you say that you never grew up wanting to write. I'm wondering, how do you come to it at this point? Did you find it work?
Yes, it is work sometimes. But when it flows, it's not. It's a pleasure. And so, I shouldn't say I never wanted to. I didn't write because, being Asian is much more practical to do math and science. So I had difficulty, actually, when I was choosing my major in university, where to go. But because I could do science, I just naturally went in that direction. And I just thought, well, I can't learn to be a scientist or do anything in a lab when I'm, much older, but I could learn to write later. So that's the way it turned out, and it's been on the back burner for me. I do have a family, so I really haven't had too much time to devote to it, but now I'm finding more time. So that's the way it turned out, and I think I'm working on a novel now, so I'll be writing for the rest of my life, I guess, as long as I can.
Yeah. Well, what did you want to tell the reader? Let's say we look at this book and look at the stories as a whole. There is something here about the experience that the Taiwanese have had there on the island, as well as the immigrant experience, those that came to this country.
Right. One of the characters in my book says we have Taiwanese resilience. And I think that's true. I look at the past century for the Taiwanese, and, with 50 years of occupation by the Japanese and then the government, the white terror under the Kuomintang, it's been really turbulent. And yet, democracy came to Taiwan, and even though politically it's still a little bit tricky for them, and I don't really, I've done a couple of readings for Taiwanese community. And I should say that this launch is not technically a launch. They booked it before I did my other readings. Mm-hmm. They called it the launch, but I have done a couple of readings now. And the Taiwanese community is still, the people that have come are, for the most part, the elite. They are the students who were able to get high degrees in North America. And so their experience as immigrants and the resilience that they've demonstrated in adapting to North American society and adapting quite successfully is something that I try to portray, but I have a little bit of a problem with some of the attitudes, and I don't want to criticize my own community, but the Chinese, as on the whole, I think they do hold prejudices, mm-hmm. and I wanted to explore some of those as well. I'm not trying to be preachy at all with the book. I just want to hold a mirror up to us to see. This is what I see, and maybe I'm seeing it incorrectly, but at the same time, we do live, especially in Canada, We do live in a multicultural society, and I think there are some attitudes that are outdated, and I think the attitudes will gradually die out as the next generations intermarry and adapt, but still, and this is not just isolated to Chinese communities, other communities as well, any ethnic community, and even the people who have been the first immigrants, the British and the French, also have their attitudes, right? So I just I like people to maybe think a little bit more about the unknown, usually often unconscious attitudes that they hold about other ethnic groups. So that was one thing I wanted to talk about. And the immigrant experience in general, I think, is something that a lot of people in Canadian society and mainstream society don't have a very clear idea of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I did one reading with just mainstream, the mainstream population, and people don't know anything about Taiwanese history. So that's actually how I start my readings. I do a little PowerPoint, very brief, history of Taiwan, and then I launch into the story itself. So, yeah, that's about the, and, oh yeah, something else that I actually interests me a lot is the moral dilemmas that people find themselves in.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of stories deal with that as well, because how do you live in modern day society is consciously and with your ethics intact, something that really interests me. So I've a couple of stories like The Good Teacher and Gentle Warriors, I've tried to explore that a little bit.
Well, what are some of the prejudices that frustrate you in the course of holding up this mirror to your community? I mean, it would be useful to say what is what it is. That way we would probably move on from there or move forward from there.
Well, being Taiwanese, we're still, the stereotype, we're kind of timid and polite.
Uh-huh.
So it's hard for me to say things like that about my own people. But there is, like if you're from Taiwan, sometimes if you go into a Taiwanese town, and I find this a lot with the older generation, they'll say, what town are you from? Like, what specific town? I mean, Taiwan is such a small island,
mm-hmm.
but still, you distinguish between you know, where you were born, who your parents were, and it's really, really important for them, the clan association. And I don't think it's any different here for the first immigrant from Canton. You know, it was a matter of survival for them to live in a foreign and very racist community, societies. So, of course, you cling to your own kind. But in my book, I have a character called Nancy or Making, and she is the mother of Tracy, who is half Asian. And even though this woman has married a white person, she still has these very deeply held prejudices. And she didn't come by them unfairly. I mean, her family was treated badly during the occupation, the two occupations. And so, of course, she has deeply held, hatred, actually, mm-hmm. for the Kuomintang. So those honestly acquired attitudes are still prevalent in some people here. I don't want to go into the politics.
Yeah.
Taiwanese, there is still a pro-Taiwanese independence group who have suffered a lot, you know, either personally or through their families, during the transition, especially the Japanese to Kuomintang rule. And so they have a very strong sense of being Taiwanese, and they want Taiwan to be recognized as its own country.
Uh-huh.
But it's very, very difficult, as you know, with China being such a strong force in the world now, for Taiwan to have this dream come true for this group of people who are so strongly pro-Taiwanese independence. And so that's where the attitudes are stemming from. And I'm just trying to, I don't want to tell anybody how to think or what to do, but to me, living in Canada, and especially since I have grown up here, it's just so difficult for me to accept that people have such strong biases against basically other Chinese, right? Their own people. So for that reason, I say that I'm holding a mirror up to my own community, because I do understand where the frustrations come from, and I understand that Taiwan is it's in a unique position. You know, there's a book called Orphan of Taiwan, because for 100 years, for 50 years, we were under Japanese rule.
Yeah.
Some people became more Japanese and some people became more Taiwanese, right, and under that rule. So the history of being a different group is long. And so I don't know what's going to happen with Taiwan. All I hope for is that whatever happens will be peaceful, because I think the people have suffered long enough,
Yeah.
So right now it's very peaceful, it's democratic, and there are people who are not happy because the Kuomintang right now is in power, elected power this time. So we'll see what happens.
In terms of your identity, I know that you came to Canada at the age of 9. Today, do you feel more Taiwanese or more Canadian, or is it the hybrid of the Taiwanese-Canadian with a hyphen?
I am Taiwanese-Canadian, I would say. My children are half Asian, so I think I've integrated quite well into Canadian society. But at the same time, I have the Taiwanese stories inside me, and my parents, even though they immigrated so long ago, are very Taiwanese sometimes in their thinking, but also are very Canadian in their thinking. So they are definitely a hybrid. And I guess I would have to call myself a hybrid as well.
And when you talk about the immigrant experiences you do in the stories in this book, how much of your own experiences, are reflected in what's in this book?
It's totally fiction.
Yeah.
I do not have the, in some of the stories I portray real racism in one of them, Sue, I have this woman who is very racist, a British woman, and this is not something that I experienced personally. History of Taiwan is there, and I talk about the two occupations, and so the rest of the stories, I would say there is only one that is inspired by a true experience, and that's the police story. That's inspired by a couple of news stories actually that I had read. I don't know if I should give away the story, but basically it's about an Asian man who slaughters his own family, and I try to look at why.
Uh-huh.
And so there were news reports, I can think of two that I specifically drew from. But other than that, all of the rest of the stories are fictional. My philosophy when writing is to try and capture the emotional experiences, not the actual experience, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, and I really don't want to embarrass anybody with anything that I say in my stories either, so I try to make it as non-recognizable as I can from true events, but still try and convey what how Taiwanese might view a certain situation, or how a Caucasian person might view a situation.
And I think you've done that in this book, because the emotional experiences that you illuminate, that you present in the stories in this book, I mean, the reader feels those. So congratulations on this book. It's been a pleasure talking today. I appreciate your time.
Oh, you're very welcome.
The event is this Saturday, the 18th of May. It's at the Dr. Sun Yat-sen Garden. 2 p.m. Visit VancouverChineseGarden.com for more information on that. Julia's website is JuliaLinBooks.com. Mia is published by Sar Books. Julia Lin on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.